who is ignorant concerning the proper way to make wudu, is still his condition like the person who did something intentionally. So that is no excuse for you because you don't know better, you still have to go, because Rasulullah said to the man, go and do your wudu over. Hadith number 50. So one thing I want to remind you about is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, what the meaning is, walu lil aqabi min an-nar, woe to the heels from hellfire. Because this one of the spots that a lot of Muslims, they neglect when they perform the wudu. And if you notice this, go make wudu and let the water run over your feet under the faucet and watch what's going to happen, because the water will come on your feet like this. But it doesn't go, and if it goes like this, it go and go like zigzag, okay? And between these zigzags, you will find a spot behind in the back of your feet is not covered with water. And if this is the case, your wudu is not complete, is not right. So whatever comes after this, which is the salah, is not acceptable. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ said, woe to the heels. Why? Because this one of the most common spots is not covered by water, and made a result of this that the salah is spoiled. Okay? So it is very important that when we make wudu, that we use our hand to rub. Okay? Let the water go. And this also the elbow. Same way, if you take the water like this and you wash your arm, you find the water will go and comes here, will be a dry spot. Okay? Go zigzag here, and this spot here will be what? Will be dry. Will be spots here dry, or the elbow. And that means also that the wudu is not completed. So we have to keep these things in mind concerning performing wudu properly. So if you wash in the right hand, as example, use the left hand to rub and to make all the water reach. And if you wash in the left arm, make sure that the right hand will go and cover the elbow. And his sister was asking me about where is the hand. The hand doesn't start from the wrist. Okay? The hand starts from the tip of your fingers. Okay? And she asked about, do we wash our hands before we start the wudu? This is not included. Okay? When you wash your hands to the elbow, that means from here to here. And you remember we talk about tahleel. Okay? Going between the fingers. This is called tahleel. Like you remember when I talked to you about pickles? Okay? Tahleel, that means going through. But in between. Going between. So the tahleel between the fingers and the toes is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make tahleel between even his toes. Anybody remember what finger he used to use? The pinky, okay? Yes, sister. Dua. Oh, while, wow. Oh, while. Lil aqab. You don't say it. The Prophet is warning us. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you don't say this. The Prophet saying, woe to the heels from hellfire. That means woe to those people who don't cover their feet, their heel properly with water when they make wudu. Because this spot is a common spot to be dry, so this will cause them to be in hellfire, punished for this. Oh, you thought it's the dua to say? Okay. By the way, which we're going to come to this, but since you're talking about it, there is no dua to be said during the wudu. There is no dua, period, to be said during the wudu, and this is innovation. The only thing that you say before the wudu and after the wudu, which we're going to mention. Before the wudu, you say what? Bismillah, don't forget this, okay? Bismillah. This it, okay? This is before the wudu. If you're inside the bathroom, and when I say bathroom, mean in the toilet. This you call it the bathroom. the wudu area for the brothers or the sisters out of the toilet, this is not called bathroom. Okay? So if you have to make wudu inside the toilet and inside the place where is the toilet, if the toilet is there, you can cover it, so it's no problem. Okay, you can mention the name of Allah there. But if you are in a place like this and you have to perform your wudu there, you say it in your heart, inside yourself, you don't mention it. Okay, but the wudu area, you say Bismillah in it, and after the wudu there is a dua. But there is some people say, as example, when they wash their face, they say, oh Allah, make my face white in the day which some faces will be white and some faces will be bright. And when he washes right arm, say, oh Allah, give me my book with my right hand. And when he goes to the left hand, say, oh Allah, don't give me my book with my left hand. Okay? And when he go wipe, for every part of the body, there is a dua. No. Okay? And when you wash the feet, you say, oh Allah, firm my feet on the sirat in the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, and all these things is innovation. You don't say anything during the wudu. Is it permissible to talk during the wudu? Yes. It doesn't break your wudu. Okay? It doesn't break your wudu. Yes, sister. During ghusl, there is no dua to be said. Only the intention, and the intention is not something to say. The intention always in the heart. You're talking about mentioning the name of Allah? Is no dua during ghusl, is no dua during tayammum, is no dua during wudu. Yes, Umm Siddiq. Where? No, you don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before wudu, neither you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before you eat. Before you eat, you say Bismillah. And before you make wudu, you say Bismillah. And you don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when you kill the animal, you say Bismillah. Okay, let's keep hands down for 15 minutes so before people come and make iqamah, because I want to finish this subject inshallah tonight. Okay, if I can. My fault, I took so long in the beginning here. Yeah, you love to hear this, I'm watching. Yeah, it's always my fault, you know. Anything wrong will be the imam. And everything is broken will be the assistant imam. And if anything good will be the sister committee. And if the place dirt outside will be the brothers after lunch. Or the security committee. Alright. Where I was. Yeah. Okay. So please be careful when you make wudu. Make sure that you keep eye on your heel and your elbow. Cover it with water. Hadith number 51, which I don't want to hang over it too much because I want to go to Masih on Al-Khuf. Hadith number 51, that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ بالمد واغتسل بالصاع إلى خمسة أمداد متفق عليه. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number what please? 51. That Rasulullah narrated Aisha, no, not Aisha, who? Anas reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used only one mud of water for ablution and one sa' to five mud of water for his bath. Okay? The hadith is authentic, which is the in Bukhari and Muslim. We mentioned before in talking about wudu and things, is that is no anything to show us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu was less than one mud. Okay, and the mud is put in your two hands together. Okay, this will call mud. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make wudu with what? With one mud. And he will make ghusl, a full bath, okay, with what? With sa'. And the mud is putting your two hands together, this will, with medium size hand, because you found some people with big hands and some people with small hands. Okay? So the medium size hand, you put it together, this will be a mud. And you fill it with water. This used to be sufficient for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make wudu. And he didn't make wudu with less than one mud. He used to take a full bath with what? Sa'. And the sa' is what? Four mud. You fill your hands four times, and this will enough for Rasulullah Hassan to take a whole shower. Alright? Can you imagine? And the maximum is saying that what? Up to five mud. Some people will be open the faucet and will splash in on the other people to the right and the people to the left. And not this only, he found after this indulgent conversation and was making wudu and say, hey, so what's happening? Did you see him? What's going on? Wow, man. And the water keep running, okay? And this, it teaches us that we have to be what? Be conservative, to be conservative, okay? To be mindful about using things, okay? Not to be wasteful. But we could not say if somebody took wudu with sa' that he's doing something haram. Now, I'm not saying this, okay? But we should try to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should be mindful about how to use money, how to use water, how to use the time, everything that we should be mindful about how not to waste, because wasting is something bad. While I'm saying it, okay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go ahead. So hopefully, inshallah, we'll be saving some money for the masjid after hearing this. Hadith number 52, and I appreciate that the sister who in the other room, hadith number 52, عن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من منكم من أحد يتوضأ فيسبغ الوضوء ثم يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها شاء. أخرجه مسلم والترمذي وزاد اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. عمر, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you perform ablution completely, okay, a good proper ablution, being mindful how to wash your arms, cover every spot, okay, completely, recite the following supplication: أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Okay, I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. All the eight gates of paradise will be open for him, and he may enter through any gate he wishes. That means the reward for you in the day of judgment, that you will find all the gates of paradise open for you. He's saying this dua after making a proper ablution. So the condition is two things. Oh please. Somebody going to get me there. It's okay, I got it here. The first condition is what? Performing wudu properly, completely. The second condition is what? That you say the dua. What is the dua? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. As a result of this, the gate of paradise will be what? Open for you. Okay. Now there is additional, or what you call additional or extra in tradition, additional or extra narration is saying that also you say Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawabin wa ij'alni min al-mutatahirin. Oh Allah, make me among those who repent to you come back to you in repentance, and those who profess himself. Although that some scholars said that this narration is not authentic, which is in the collection of Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi. But the surprising thing that I find that Sheikh Al-Albani, Hafidhahullah, he said that this additional or this extra is authentic. So inshallah we can say both dua after the wudu to say what? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin wa ij'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 hadith more, because I really, this was my intention to talk to you today about Masah al-Khuffain. We didn't make an hour and a half yet. Anybody still can drive more for about 20 minutes more? How many people say go ahead? 3, 42, 5, 67, 15. All right. باب المسح على الخفين. باب المسح على الخفين. This is chapter 5. مسح, wiping over خفين, two leather socks. عن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه narrated. غير ابن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتوضأ فأهويت لأنزع خفيه فقال دعهما فإني أدخلتهما طاهرتين. We talking about wiping over the socks or the khuf or the leather shoes or whatever that you want to call it that you wear it over your feet. المسح in linguistic speaking, to pass the hand over something, this called مسح, to wipe, okay, to pass the hand over something or to rub over something, this is called مسح. And Islamically or in Islamic terminology, we're talking about wiping a wet hand over khuf for a special time being determined by the Sharia. And the khuf, according the Islamic terminology, what we're talking about, this, the covering of the foot in something which cover the ankles, and that you be able to walk in it, which something almost like shoes, okay. And some of you already saw maybe the leather socks, they wear it, they buy it sometimes in from India or Pakistan. These people, they sometimes be wearing these things. And wiping over the socks or wiping over the shoes or the khuf or whatever that you're wearing over your feet, one of the specialities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gave it to this ummah. And it is permissible to be utilized regardless if you are home or traveling, for a male or female, regardless if you sick or well. So it's not a condition, alright, that is permissible, is a favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us, relaxing the rules, regardless if you're traveling or you're home, male or female, if you're sick or you're not sick, doesn't matter, that you have the permission that you can wipe over the socks instead of washing the feet. But this condition for this masah, this wiping, and the most important condition which the scholars agreed about it, because there is other condition made by scholars, but there are differences about it and is not a solid proof about it. But the most important condition which is supported by evidence, that you have to put your feet inside the khuf after performing a full ablution or a full ghusl before you break your wudu. So that means your foot will be inside the khuf while you are having tahara. Okay, can we understand this? And we're going to mention this in the hadith which we have it with us, the first hadith in this chapter. The other, some of scholars is made other conditions, like as example that it have to be cover the ankles and your feet, okay, that if it's shorter than this, that you could not use it, that you have to be, has the ability to walk in it for a couple of miles or whatever it is. Some also they made the conditions that no holes in it. Some they made a condition that you could not see through, okay. All this condition that water could not go through it if you wipe over it. Do you understand what I mean, that the water doesn't go through it? So all this condition made by different scholars and different schools and people are differences about it. But none is to support these conditions, okay? The only condition that before you wear your khuf, that you will have to have a tahara. You have to be in a state of tahara. That means you took your ghusl already, or that you perform your wudu, and now you will wear your khuf, and after this, when you break your wudu, now you can what? You can wipe over it. Okay. Although that wiping over the khuf does not have a special way, the only recommended or the only way that came in Islam is wiping over the socks, over the khuf, over the shoes. Okay? But there is some people say, understand that three hands, you put these two hands, the binky and the thumb together, and the three hands is separated, the three fingers separate them, and after this you start from the top of your finger, toes, and you go back, understand, to the leg. And some people say the right hand on the right foot, and the left hand on the left foot, and they go in the same time. All these things, you understand, the different understanding and different saying of schools and different saying of scholars, but is no any specific hadith concerning this. The only thing is what? Wiping over, not under, not behind. This all what is there in this subject. And with this hadith, which hadith al-Mughira, the hadith is authentic, is in collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that al-Mughira was in his company, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing wudu, so he went ahead to take off the shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, leave them, that mean my shoes or my khuf, leave it alone, for I had put them means my feet, on, that mean inside the khuf, wiped after performing ablution. Okay? After performing ablution. So this is the condition. فَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا, and after this that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did what? He wiped over them. He wiped over them. And some people, some scholars, they understood wipe over them. That means he wiped over both of them in the same time. Like I said, what? Right hand and the left hand, both of them. That you wet them like this, okay? And after this you go and you wipe on your shoes, your socks, your khuf, whatever that you're wearing. Okay? The second hadith concerning this subject, here there is a fa'idah or a benefit, I would like to mention it, that Al-Munzir, Ibn Al-Munzir, he said from Al-Hasan Al-Basri, he said 70 from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned to me that he used to make mash over Al-Khufayn. Okay? That he said, I heard from 70 from the Sahaba. Because you know some Muslims, they did not go over this, they did not take this ruling about the permissibility of wiping over the socks or the shoes of the khuf. Okay? But you can see that something was well known among the Sahaba to such a degree that this Ibn al-Munzir said that Al-Hasan al-Basri, he informed him that 70 of the companions of Rasulullah told me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this. And this hadith, which reported by Al-Mughira, may Allah be pleased with him, this hadith been mentioned after the battle of Tabuk. And why we saying this? Because in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say what? Wash your feet. Okay? But this hadith, it came after Ghazwat Tabuk. That means it came after the revelation of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Alright? So that means this is showing that washing of the feet is if you don't have socks or shoes or khuf. Okay? Because if this hadith been narrated before Ghazwat Tabuk, before the coming of revelation of Surah Al-Ma'idah, now as if this verse came and do what? Abrogated this condition. But the hadith came after Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is talking about when you go for Salah, wash this and that and your feet. So the washing of the feet will be for what? After the period of mash, of wiping over. Or if you have hadath akbar after intercourse, you have to take a shower, so you have to take your khuf off. You see? But as long as you put your feet inside the khuf after wudu, now what you're supposed to do, you can, if you want, wipe over them with no harm and acceptable, and will be sufficient and will be equal, the same like if you wash your feet. Okay? And as I said, the only condition that we have, that reliable condition, that what? That you have wudu before wearing the khuf. All these other conditions that no holes. Because you know the Sahaba was not millionaire. Most of the Sahaba, poor people. Can you imagine one of them that walking with a socks or a khuf, no hole in it? Sometimes even they don't have things to wear. Some of them, when he died, they did not have enough kafan for him. The only thing that the burda, the coat that he was wearing, and was short. If they cover his head, his feet will be exposed. And if they cover his feet, his head will be exposed. Was not even enough to give him kafan. So the Sahaba was not all of them having money. Some of them, the millionaire, like Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was a millionaire, but he bought his money fi sabilillah. He prepared a whole army from his money. A whole army. You see? But most of the Sahaba, you heard about Ahl al-Suffa. These people who are homeless, they did not even have a house. They used to live in the backyard of the masjid. Okay? So about the condition that the khuf does not have a hole, this was not fitting with the Sahaba. Some of them, they did not even have things to put on, to walk in it. The second hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masha ala al-khuf wa asfalu wa fi isnadu ghudaf. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had wiped over the khuf and below the khuf, and this hadith is weak, so we don't have to deal with it. We could not build a hukm over it because the hadith is weak, so we going to leave it alone. Hadith number 55 in page number 31, that Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, قال لو كان الدين بالرأي لكان أسفل الخف أولى بالمسح من أعلاه وقد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح على ظاهر خفيه أخرجه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. Now we have a hadith here which is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and classified to be good, so is no need for the weak hadith. And this hadith is showing us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped over, not below. Okay? And listen to the beautiful meaning that Imam Ali radiallahu anhu saying, if the deen, if the religion, if the way of worshipping Allah according what makes sense to you or what doesn't make sense, that you should wipe under your khuf instead wiping over it. Let me see what it's saying here in English. Narrated, Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, if religion were based on opinion, it would be more important to wipe over the under parts of leather sacks than the upper. But I have seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiping over the upper parts of his leather sacks. Okay? So it's not what makes sense to you. No, but to follow the 40 steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what he mean by this? He's saying, you people look, what makes sense that when you walk with your feet like this, which part get dirty? The bottom or the top? The bottom. So if a matter of opinion and logic, you're supposed to clean the bottom, not the top. But this not what Allah told us, neither was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam show us. So when Allah is saying something, or his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, practice something, this is what we do. Don't tell. So what's wrong in it? There is nothing called what's wrong in it. Did the sahaba understand this? Walaikum salam. This is what we have to be careful from. This is like somebody say, so brother, what's wrong, you understand, for a woman to call the adhan? Why is a dhikr? Adhan is dhikr. You say Allahu Akbar, say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And she's not singing, see, she's saying straight adhan. See? Okay. Yes, this is true. There is nothing in Quran to say a woman could not call the adhan. There's nothing in hadith to say a woman could not make the adhan. But what happened about the sahaba? They are the best to be able to understand this deen. If they find or understood that this is permissible for a woman to do it, they will do it. We don't think Aisha concerned about getting the reward, or more Kulsum, or Ruqayya, or Khadija. So we understand this deen by what Allah said, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, and how did the Sahaba understood this. Okay? So if it's not based in Quran or hadith, so the next thing that you have to see, did the Sahaba do this? If not, you better stay away from it. You better stay away from it. Okay? And say, Ali say, may Allah be pleased with him, he said it's not what you think. Because this deen is for you to follow, not for you to invent. It's not for you to make your opinion, but it's for you to surrender and submit. And this was the deen of Allah. The whole thing is for Allah to teach us slavery, how to be a slave to Allah. Not to invent, not to make your own way. Next hadith 56, which he reported by Safwan ibn Asal, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah Ta'ala qal, كان النبي ذات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرنا إذا كنا سفرا ألا ننزع خفافنا ثلاثة أيام ولياليهن إلا من جنابة ولكن من غائط وبول ونوم. أخرج النساء والترمذي واللفظ له وابن خزيمة وصححه. أوكي. زاد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث 56 also in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic, is no problem with it, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to command us, that means to recommend it, because madh over the surface is not a must, is relaxation of the rules. So the order means here that instructed us, okay, that we don't need to take our khuf off, okay, if we are traveler, we have what? 3 days with 3 nights. And if we are not traveler, this means what mean to be home, that we are staying home, that you can keep wiping over the socks or the shoes, whatever, for how long? 1 day and night, 24 hours, okay? Except what? The exception is one thing, is the janaba. Because the janaba is a hadath akbar, is a major action. That means you have to take a full bath after intercourse, alright, for you to have the khuf again, okay? But using the bathroom or sleeping, you don't have to take the khuf off, okay? And by this hadith we understood also that sleeping breaks the wudu, okay? Because he said illa min bawlin wa ghaatin wa nawm, except what? Urine, defecation and sleep. So that means he's saying that these three things break your wudu and will be sufficient when you make a next wudu that you wipe. You don't have to take it off. But the only condition is what? Is the janaba. After intercourse, now you have to take your khuf, make wudu, make a ghusl, and after this put your khuf or your shoes or your sandal or your socks, and after this when you break your wudu, you do what? Wipe over it. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 3 أيام ولياليهن للمسافر ويوم وليلة للمقيم, يعني في المسح على الخفين, is the same meaning, and also this in collection of Imam Muslim and the one before in the collection of Nisa'i and the Tirmidhi, so I don't see any too much different to go in detail. The next hadith, which is number 58, I know I'm cheating now, huh? Because there are only 5 minutes left, so please forgive me for speeding. This hadith number 58, reported by Thawban, may Allah be pleased with him, بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سرية فأمرهم أن يمسحوا على العصائب يعني العمائم والتفاخين يعني الخفاف, رواه أحمد وأبو داود 58, is authentic in the collection of Al-Hakim and the Dar-Qutni, okay? And the hadith, although is not in the collection of Imam Muslim, but agrees with the condition of Al-Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent expedition, or he sent a group of the Sahaba in Ghazwa, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to wipe over their turbans and their khuf. Okay? And you remember we talked before also in wudu that a person will do what? Can wipe over. Can wipe over the beginning of his hair and complete over. He can wipe over the beginning of his hair and complete what? Over the turban. And the turban, that what is known to be worn by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not like the turban that the Sikh or the Sikh or whatever you call them, these people from Hindus, they wear it, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to send what? I'm sorry, I don't have my turban tonight to show, but you saw it before, okay? And sometimes he used to put the tail of it to the side, and sometimes he have what? Two tails, or this is the only way that we can explain it, tail, okay? Called zu'aba. Alright? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the turban is not a must, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear it, and some scholars in difference with this, is sunnah recommended, or is sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it out of like culture, or because everybody used to wear turban, Muslims and non-Muslims in that time, okay? But this is not the issue now, but we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear turban. So if a person, and also there is another turban which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like what you call this West Africa, you find the people call muhannaka, okay? They go and they wear the turban like this, and after this they go under the chin, okay? And they wear it like this. This is called imama muhannaka. So if a person wearing a turban, not a kufi, okay, a turban, he can wipe over it as well as the khuf also, okay? And let me tell you my understanding concerning khuf. I told you what is say here about khuf. My understanding about khuf, anything you wear it in your foot, on your foot, or in your foot, or on your foot, okay, that permissible for you to wipe over it, as long as you put your feet inside while you have an wudu. If you're wearing a slipper, if you're wearing a shoes, if you're wearing a socks, if you're wearing a sandal, if you're wearing anything which is sticking in your foot and you're walking with it, you wipe over it, will be okay. What about if a person take it off? Now I made wudu, I make a full wudu, and after this I put my socks on. Follow me now, pay attention. I made a full wudu and I put my socks on, or my shoes, or whatever, and now I break my wudu. So the next time I'm going to make wudu, I'm going to do what? I'm going to wipe over it, not washing it, washing the sock with your hand, and after this you do like this over it one time, and this is okay. Now when I come to the masjid, I was outside in the yard and made wudu and I wipe over my shoes. Now when I came, I took my shoes off, I put it in the shoe shelf, and I came inside to make salah. Can I make salah like this? Yes, yes, yes. And some of the scholars, why Mustafa saying, they say this exactly like a person made wudu and after this he cut his nails, or somebody made wudu and shaved his head. Okay, you made wudu and you went to the barber shop and he gives you a haircut. In actuality, you wipe over your hair, but now your hair is not there, so this break your wudu. So they say the same thing is the condition, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Don't run, we still have about 3 minutes more. No. What is the okay, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them they can wipe over their turbans and over their socks or their leather or khuf, whatever they have over their feet. وعن عمر رضي الله عنه, and somebody say, okay brother, you see the hadith says that he sends them for expedition, military, so only in matter of necessity, because it's too much for the soldier to take his boot and say no, go to the hadith before this. He says the Prophet ﷺ permit 3 days and 3 nights for the traveler and 1 day for what? For the resident. So this was not out of necessity that you wipe over the socks, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it to be for you, so accept what Allah made it for you. Next hadith, which is 50 Okay. Hadith Umar and Anas marfu'an idha tawadda'a 59 from Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu rakhasa al-musafir thalathat ayyam an yamsah. Okay, the same thing we said, this hadith we just mentioned it, so the last hadith number 60 before the tape close, inshallah, that Ubay ibn Umara ibn Imara radiyallahu anhu annahu qala ya Rasulallah amsahu ala al-khuffain, qala na'am, قال يوما قال نعم قال يومين قال نعم قال ثلاثة yes yes yes. He said whatever you want. He said can I wipe over the socks one day? He said yeah if you want. Two, he said yeah. Three, four, five, he said as long as you want. But this hadith أخرجه أبو داود وقال ليس بالقوي, the hadith is weak. And before the tape click, the sisters can wipe over their headpiece. Can I say can? Okay, not can't. Can, C A N. Can. All right. The same way, and any wudu, and they don't have to have a tahara before. They have to make wudu, and after this you put your khimar. So the next time you go to make wash over it, no, you can wipe